All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Uncanny Valley. We've got a premiere. This is The Price of Power. Okay, so before we get started, I want to talk about something. So, this has preferences that I've never seen, and I want to see in more AVN. So if you're watching and you're an AVN dev, listen up. Okay, so first of all, there's safe for work on and off. These are really useful. Obviously a lot of people do play on YouTube, and, you know, we obviously don't, but that's cool to have. However, what I like, not the dialogue box, which is cool, or the text color, which is cool, the opacity is nice also, it's cool that we can remove the box, but we can change the size of the text, which is very important. Some of us old farts have a hard time reading that small print. Also, we can outline the text in light or heavy. This makes it easier for us to see if we have the dialogue box off so we can see certain scenes. And it shouldn't be too much for the game either, like you'll still be able to see everything, it just won't be this great big box. I like these ideas. I think we need to have more options like this. Large, extra large, text outline, very, very important. Makes it easier for me to see and easier for me to read for you guys. Alright. So let's get started. Says you can join the community. Chapter 1, An Unexpected Arrival. Human civilization is a cancer on the world. Ooh, I do not like. See, here's one thing I already don't like, and I can fix. White. I want my white text, okay? And it should give it a nice outline. There we go. Look at that. You see how you can see that text? There's no issues. Perfect. Now we can go in there and make it a little darker if we need to. Let's see. Yeah, there you go. That's perfect. I like that. A nice heavy outline so you can see the text and it doesn't mess with the screen. Human civilization is a cancer on the world. It always seeks to expand, consuming what it can and destroying the rest. Take these woods as an example. It's a sunny spring morning on the outskirts of the Breton Woods. The island of Godsland has been inhabited for over 4 centuries, but these woods remain mostly untouched. They've seen countless summers and countless winters, enduring each heat wave and surviving every blizzard. The last winter was mild, so life has returned to normal even faster than usual. However, civilization encroaches further with each passing year, consuming and destroying this testament to endurance and natural harmony. Dirt trails, some large enough to fit a wagon, have been cut through the outskirts of the forest in recent years. The trees that were chopped down? Lumber for the wagons that will trundle between towns, hauling people and goods in service of civilization. The animals that lived here? Slaughtered for food or furs and heaped onto the wagons. But what about the joy of seeing a sunrise filtering through the trees? Stumbling upon a doe picking her way through the underbrush? Gone. Destroyed. But now that they have all these new wagons and all these furs and food to sell, they'll need to cut more trails to support and fill all the new wagons. And so the cycle continues. More of the force will be gone next year and the more the year after. Maybe it'll be a slow death. Only a tiny sliver gone each year. The forest will slowly fade from memory until it's just a legend, or a public park. Maybe it'll be fast, and the forest will be gone in 20 years. Those alive will mourn its passing, waxing nostalgic about the good old days as they ride down the now barren trails in their wagons. But what happens when everything is consumed or destroyed? What happens when there's no more lumber to build more wagons and no more animals to hunt for food and fur? Cancer is the self-destructive disease. It consumes and grows until its world, a human body, can no longer support it. Eventually the body dies and the cancer dies with them. It consumed too much, grew too large, and eventually sacrificed its own survival in a desperate attempt to stay alive. And so, when the woods are gone and there are no more trees, what happens next? But enough about cancer and death. This is neither the time nor the place, given everything that's happened. Let's start here. What is your name? As the first rays of sunlight pierce the morning fog and illuminate your room, you strap on your dagger and begin making your way to town. can turn that down a hair. Just a little. Time for another trek to Promise. At least it finally seems to be spring. Those winter morning slogs through the snow are awful. I need to get some flour, perhaps a loaf of bread to tide me over until I get back. Maybe some salt if there's any in store. You pause as you walk down the familiar, well-worn trail between your scheduled cabin and the main road to town. You let out an audible sigh and shake your head as you continue down the trail and reach the main road. I suppose this is what my life is now. 25 years old, but I might as well be 50. Walking the same old routes and paths as always, doing everything as I've always done on the outskirts of civilization. Humans can never be satisfied. It's part of what drives civilization onwards. Craving familiarity in the face of the unknown. Craving the unknown in the face of familiarity and wishing for simplicity when confronted with both. My name seems to be bugged. Let's get back to your thoughts while I fix this. I should be happy. I have a good home. I make a good, honest living. And I have the respect of my town and peers. I'm not married yet, but shouldn't this be enough, at least for now? Isn't this the dream? I know I should be happy. I know I should be satisfied. I'm the youngest man to earn a journeyman's hunter's license from the Ecclesiarchy, and I'm one of only 12 licensed hunters on the whole island. I've even saved enough money to expand the cabin that mother and father left me before they passed. This is what success is. This is what happiness should be. This is what happiness is for everyone else. Why isn't this enough for me? You continue your existential ponderings as you walk into town, almost oblivious to your surroundings. And here's Promise, 50 people and a few dozen buildings, my whole world. I remember this place being so much larger when I was a child. It felt like a huge, bustling city. Those were the good old days, attending Sunday school with all the other children, learning about Jesus and the prophet from the elder, walking home with mother afterwards and telling her about it. I guess when you get older, the world starts to shrink. It also doesn't help that most of my friends have gotten married and live on farms in the hinterlands now. You finally look up as you approach the general store, and barely stop yourself from walking into a woman waiting outside. Whoa, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there. As you take a half step back, the woman turns to face you, and your brain immediately scrambles. What is her name? Default, Maria. It can be Maria. By the prophet, Maria! Her eyes widen with shock, and she gasps. Grim, is it really you? I never thought I'd see you again, especially not this far out from the city. Nor I you. How have you been? It's been years since I last saw you. How have I been since I last saw her? My parents are dead, and I'm constantly unhappy and dissatisfied with life. I don't think I can really tell her that, though. I've been okay. You? She pauses a bit, too. She looks down and smiles weakly. Yeah, I've been okay as well. There's an awkward pause as you both try to figure out what to say to one another. The initial joy and excitement you felt is quickly replaced with awkwardness. It's not often that you run into a long-lost childhood friend at the village market. What do I even say in this scenario? Yeah. You can't help but chuckle at this situation, and she looks at you confused. Why are you laughing? What's going on? Sorry, we were best friends throughout our entire childhood, and now we're barely able to talk for a moment. You pause, and you see a slight smile cross her face. That's the Maria you know. You've, really grown up. I was the same height as you the last time we saw each other, and now you're all big. You take a proper look at her, and your brain starts to jam up again. She's definitely grown up since you last saw her. She's a woman now, not the little girl you used to play tag with. Yeah, you too. You blurt out the first thing that comes to your mind. In retrospect, you probably shouldn't tell a woman that she's big, though, especially not a long-lost childhood friend. You immediately see storm clouds gathering behind her eyes. Is she calling me fat? Excuse me? Oh, God. No, I just imagined you would have grown up to be this, I never would have imagined you would have grown up to be this, beautiful. You're definitely bigger because you've grown up and all, but in a good way. She immediately blushes and stammers. What did you just, You know, when women grow up, they... You've grown up like a woman grows up. What am I even saying anymore? What's wrong with my mouth? You sheepishly grin, trying to put on a happy face on possibly the most pathetic moment of your entire life. Her face, on the other hand, is a mask covering what you assume is embarrassment, anger, and other emotions that can't possibly be good. She can't even look at you anymore. See now, look, you did it, Grim. It's over. You take a deep breath before refocusing yourself. What did Father always say about women? Just be polite, be direct, and be a gentleman. And in this case, I should probably apologize about 20 times. She's a noble woman and could have me whipped, childhood friend, or not. Sorry, I just never thought I'd see you again, and now you're here, in my tiny little village on the edge of civilization. I think the last time I saw you, you had pigtails that you tried to strangle me with, remember? And now you're this gorgeous young woman. I guess you can call your husband to come beat me up now. I certainly deserve it. I'm not married. Well, I guess if your fighting skills are anything like they were 10 years ago, you can probably beat me up on your own? She breaks out into a grin and starts giggling. I might have to. Who do you think you are, walking up to a lady and telling her that she's beautiful and has grown up like a woman? Any other woman would slap you silly. You're not going to report me to the church for indecency or insubordination, are you? What? Of course not. I know it's been a while, but I didn't become some uppity holier-than-thou noblewoman in the last 10 years. You know I've never been the most devout person. Even if I did, the church is very strict when it comes to these things. I definitely wouldn't want to see you publicly flogged. So I'll just hold this over your head and tease you mercilessly for the rest of time. Fair? I guess that's fair enough. You're really never letting me live this down, are you? Nope. I'm going to remember this forever. Like a woman. You both laugh at her joke. You laugh in relief more than anything, since you're pretty sure you narrowly avoided a catastrophe. Not that all women... Don't worry, it's fine. I get it. Just a joke. So, no husband? Aren't you an old spinster by city standards? 24 and unmarried is quite the scandal. You make a silly face at her so she knows that you're kidding, and she grins mischievously at you in return. Look who's talking. I don't see a ring on your finger either, mister. You're right, you're right. I haven't found anyone yet, and pretty much every woman my age is either betrothed or married, so you trail off and smile awkwardly. There's a little bit of sadness in your voice that you didn't expect. Don't worry about it, I'm sure it'll be fine. Even I'd be with you, like a woman. Wait, what? You look at her confusedly as her face transforms from joy at teasing you to embarrassment at what she just implied. You, want to be with me, like a woman? Like, doing... Shut up, don't say anything. I heard myself say it when you did. I obviously misspoke. I didn't mean it like that. You crack up, but she's still utterly mortified. I know, but I can't believe you just said that. Shut up, we're even now. You said something stupid once, I said something stupid once. Alright, I'll stop teasing you for now. You laugh together, and as the laughter dies, an idea pops into your head. Listen, I don't know how long you'll be in town, but I was wondering, do you want to come over for dinner tonight? She raises her eyebrow at you, intrigued. You're inviting me for dinner? With you? Alone? A lady might get the wrong idea, Grim. It sounds like you're trying to seduce me. What? No. Well, I am trying to rekindle our friendship, but nothing more, I promise. You know that this could get us into some trouble, right? Unmarried men and women aren't to be left alone without a chaperone. I know, but it's me and you. We've been friends for ages. It's not like I'm some stranger asking you to dinner. You grin mischievously as you continue, your voice lowered. And besides, we've broken plenty of rules together. Remember when we turned all your father's crosses upside down and told him that there was a devil in the house? She snorts slightly before responding. I definitely remember that. And the hiding Mother gave me when she found out. I had to sit in church for an entire Sunday on a sore bottom and pray for forgiveness. But your father's face, wasn't that worth it all? Seriously though, dinner tonight? We haven't seen each other in so long, and I'd love to just sit down and talk with you. She thinks to herself and sighs. I'll see, Grim. I really want to. Don't get me wrong, but I'm on a schedule here, and I don't know if I'll be able to. I'll talk with Uncle when he arrives and see if he can let me come by for dinner. Uncle, you don't mean... Yes, Grim, Uncle Jacob, the one you could never speak two words to before wetting yourself in excitement. Hey now, I know. I'll never get why you got so nervous around him in particular. I mean, I know why, but he's so nice. Yeah, but I wanted to be an adventurer. He was the Lord Explorer. It was like an altar boy meeting the Prophet. You're still smitten by him, I see. Anyway, I'll ask him and see if I can come. How does that sound? That sounds great. Say, the store probably won't be open for another 30 minutes or so. I haven't seen Miss Greenwood yet, and it takes her a while to open everything up. Would you like me to give you a tour of the town while we wait? It shouldn't take too long, but it could be fun. Sure, why not? Give me the grand tour. You puff up your chest and gesture forwards. Then follow me. Your grand tour awaits. You walk a few steps before turning and flourishing dramatically. We've arrived at our first landmark, the Grand Market of Promise. 'Tis a legendary bazaar full of exotic delights and mysterious relics. It also sells basic commodities like grain, salt, and the like. Wow, to think we'll be returning here soon. Do you think I'll be able to find any ancient priceless relics from before the fall? I'd love to have a few to decorate my house. M'lady, you can find anything here. Why, just last week I heard that they sold a pair of the Prophet's own knickers. You heathen! You both crack up as you gesture her forward to the next stop on your journey. And here we have the legendary Forge of Promise. Anything from a simple ornate... A simple hoe. You know, she doesn't want for much. She's a simple hoe. To ornate gold jewelry can be crafted here. What, pray tell, gives the forge its legendary repute? Surely not just the skill of the smith himself. Of course not. It's rumored that the forge was lit by a dragon several centuries ago, so it burns with the heat of a dragon's flame. Wasn't Promise founded 30 years ago? How could a drag... Next up, she giggles and shakes her head at your ridiculousness, but plays along and keeps moving. Here is the Great Cathedral, one of the oldest and largest cathedrals in the world. It was founded by the Prophet himself, and it's even rumored that the elder is his descendant. His descendant? I thought he didn't have any children and famously took an oath of chastity. Ah, that's where you're wrong, madam. He fathered one child about 400 years ago. The elder. Oh, my goodness, Grim. Don't say that right outside his house. Don't worry, 400 years really does a number on your ears. He's almost deaf, so I'm not too worried about him hearing us. Maria looks like she's having a lot of fun as you continue spinning ridiculous tales about the famous landmarks of your little village. Your edgy religious jokes still make her laugh, just like when you were kids. It's all childish fun, of course, but neither of you seem to mind the silliness as long as you're with each other. And here, why, it's a resident of this glorious town. Come with me, m'lady. You approach the resident, your friend Friedrich. He's headed towards the smithy with a saw in hand. What might you be doing with that saw, sir? Well, a man tried to steal, and I figured I would lob his head. Hands off, not his head. They do behead people in these times, though. If you do the wrong thing, off with your head! Off with his head! But I need my head. Not anymore, you don't. Good morning, Friedrich. How's it going? Hey, good morning, Grim. It's all going well. Abigail is due in a few weeks, so I'm just making sure everything is in order on the farm. That rascal son of mine, Benjamin, bent my saw while playing, so here I am. Oh, and how are you? And who is this with you? Friedrich inclines his head politely towards Maria as a way of greeting. Oh, good morning. I'm glad to meet a friend of Grimm's. My name is Maria. Maria Dalton. Friedrich starts as if stung by a bee, then immediately bows. Oh, my apologies. I had no idea who you were, m'lady. Please forgive my insolence. It's fine, Friedrich. Don't worry. How is your wife doing? Oh, she's doing well. Great, in fact. She prays regularly, so the Lord watches over her. He glances nervously at the smithy and starts to edge away, head still lowered. I should really get back to my farm, miss. I need to take care of my wife and children, after all. No time for idleness. He quickly trots off, leaving you and Maria standing in the town square. God, I hate when that happens. What, people treating you like... Just because I'm from a noble family doesn't mean I'm not a person. Everyone is always so damnably afraid of me all the time. Like I'm going to summon the Prophet to drag them into the pits of hell itself if they look at me wrong. She snorts and shakes her head, clearly upset. I just want to be me, you know? To live my life without all sorts of external expectations on me. It feels like half the world has all these expectations about me being an unmarried woman from a noble family, and the other half about me being from a prominent noble family. I mean, do you know how many marriage proposals I've received in the last year? I've turned down the Cunningham son at least 40 times now, and I've only met him once in my life. Maybe I should just live here. It seems nice. At least I wouldn't just be some prize for... Excuse me. At least I wouldn't just be some prize for foppish noblemen to claim. Hey, at least someone is interested. Everyone here gets married before they're 20, so my prospects are pretty much non-existent now. None of them are interested in me, just my money and title and power. Honestly, I'd rather no one be interested at all than just be a prize. She pauses and takes a deep breath. I got a little carried away there, didn't I? Sorry, the last few months, years, honestly, have been difficult. No, it's fine. Maybe we can continue our conversation over dinner. Tonight? Yeah, let's talk at dinner. She huffs a little to calm herself down, though her face is still very hard to read. Look, Grim, I'll see you at dinner tonight. Pick me up in the afternoon, let's say 2 hours before sunset. She's acting strangely. Maybe she still thinks I'm trying to seduce her or something. Just to be clear, I just want to talk with you. Nothing else. I swear on all that's good that I don't have any ulterior motives. Though if you decide you want to be with me like a woman, that's on you, I guess? She chuckles and shakes her head. I know, we've been friends for a long time, so I know you wouldn't try anything like that. It's nothing, I promise. At least she doesn't think I'm going to try anything untoward with her. But if she's not hesitant about spending time with me, then what is it? So, 2 hours before sunset? She shakes her head slightly as if she's trying to banish something from her mind, and puts on a clearly forced smile. Yes, I'll make sure we can have some time to talk and catch up. I'll see you tonight! She walks off towards the village square, presumably towards the inn. Her gait is a little unsteady, as if she's deep in thought and not paying attention to where she's walking. You watch her walk away, dozens of thoughts bouncing around in your head. I really hope to see her again. But what's going on with her? Maybe I should ask, or maybe she needs space. Other thoughts from deep within you start to creep into your head, and you feel yourself start to flush a little. Wow, she's got such a nice... She turns back and sees you watching her. Fortunately, she's far enough away that she can't tell what you were looking at or what you were thinking. You're immediately shaken out of your staring and wave at her. She waves back to you and continues walking, a hint of a spring now in her step. You finish waving and walk to the store, still deep in thought. I need to stop thinking about her like that. She's my childhood friend, my best friend, and now she's miraculously back in my life. I can't mess this up. I won't. Not after everything that's happened. After waiting about 10 minutes, the store opens and you quickly make your purchases. Now I need to hurry back and start cleaning. I haven't had guests since before winter, so the whole cabin is an absolute mess. And I should probably make something extra nice for Maria since I haven't seen her in ages. You break into a smile as you walk down the main road towards your cabin. Finally, a stroke of good fortune. Something to break me out of this negativity and help me get my head back on straight. You spend most of the day cleaning your cabin. Scrubbing pots, dusting the mantle, sweeping the floor. By the time you're done, it's already time to pick Maria up. At least the cabin is presentable now. Mother would be so proud of me, finally able to keep a clean house. You quickly wash your face and change your shirt to something more presentable, then make your way back to town. I wonder what we should talk about. I'm hoping I can find out more about what's happened with her since we last met, and I'm sure she's wondering the same. Maybe I can find out what was bothering her this morning, but I probably shouldn't pry. I just hope that we can't pick up where we left off all those years ago. It would be great to have her back in my life. Hope. It's a fascinating and uniquely human concept. As an external observer, it's probably the worst part about humans. It's just a frustratingly emotional idea. It overwhelms all sense of reason, of which there is precious little already, and drives people to do unbelievably stupid things. Humans don't even need a push to be unbelievably stupid. Their natural arrogance, emotionality, and short-sightedness is more than enough for that. Combine that with the audacity to hope for the best things to happen, and you end up with people believing that they can solve all their problems by beseeching a magical man in the sky for solutions. Ridiculous. So ridiculous. Hope is the most dangerous thing that humans can have. People start hoping for the best case scenario for all their problems to magically go away, and they'll willfully ignore all the signs that the worst is about to occur. And once the worst happens, they die, often in some sort of ridiculous or gruesome way. It's such a stupid way to go. And once an entire civilization begins to hope for something, well, you can see the aftermath. They deserved it for hoping themselves into oblivion. And now here I am, left to pick up the pieces with some village hunter. Just my luck. You arrive at the town not a minute too soon as you see Maria make her way towards you from the inn. Hey, Grim, long time no see. Whatever she was feeling earlier today no longer seems to be troubling her. Perhaps it was nothing at all? You chuckle at her joke, as poor as it is, and walk up to her. It's been too long. May I escort the fair lady to dinner? Hey now, you know I don't like it when you call me a lady and all that. Just because I'm a noblewoman or whatever doesn't mean I like being reminded of it all the time. Oh yes, of course, ma'am, as you wish, m'lady. Please accept my humblest apologies for dishonoring you so. She rolls her eyes at you, but you can tell from her smile that she appreciates your jokes, at least for now. You clear your throat loudly, then hunch over slightly before saying in a gruff, aggressive voice, Alright, woman, since you don't want me to treat you all nice and proper, get yourself back to the cabin right now so you can cook me dinner, you hear? Wow, I can't believe I actually prefer being treated like a spoiled princess. Where did you even pick up that accent? Hey now, we village people may talk a little funny at times, but... Grim, we could go on like this for an hour, I'm sure, but didn't we have some other plans? Alright, how about I just treat you like Maria and we head out for dinner? That sounds great, so what are we having for dinner? I assume you cooked something especially fancy for me? You gesture for her to begin walking and you walk with her side by side back towards your cabin. I've made you my specialty, of course. Bread with salted meat and gravy. Well, I'll be damned. That sounds great! Oh my, you're going to spoil me. Did you say salted meat? What a luxurious offering. Indeed I did. The meat would be salted and just enough for you to say I'm not sure if he salted this or not, but I can't get over how burnt it is. You continue trading jokes and laughing all the way back to your cabin. Well, here it is. Wow. Well, I mean, he makes do. It's just enough, right? You gesture dramatically to the outside of your plain, unadorned stone cabin. There it is. Wow, I've never seen anything like this before, even in the capital. Well, my father built it himself before I was born, so even though it's a bit rough around the edges, it's home for me. Oh no, I really do think it's quite nice. I'd love to see your family if they're around. Or did you ask them to give you some privacy tonight? Well? I probably should have told her that my parents are dead. This is going to be awkward. Maybe I should get some food in our bellies before we really get talking. Let's head inside and get eating. That burnt, barely salted meat isn't going to eat itself. That sounded better in my head. She seems a little confused by the abrupt change in conversation, but she makes no protest. You let her in and you offer her a chair near the fire. The awkwardness of the previous moment is quickly forgotten as you begin breaking bread and serving out the meat and gravy. As you finish up your meal, Maria turns to you, a smile on her face. You know, you had me a little bit worried when you told me about the burnt, unsalted meat. But that was actually delicious. I'm stuffed. Wow, she looks gorgeous, but I need to stay focused and not make her feel uncomfortable. Oh, I'm glad to hear it. I've been cooking for quite a while, so I like to think I've gotten quite good at it. Indeed you have. So tell me, what's been going on with you? Don't think I didn't notice how you avoided my question about your family earlier. Her face becomes more serious and her voice becomes softer and more compassionate. Did something happen? Are you estranged from them? Or did something worse happen? No getting around it this time. They're not around anymore. The great pox hit our village hard. She pauses and reaches out a hand to hold yours. I had no idea. I'm so sorry. I understand what you went through. My parents also died from the pox. Did they really? Yes, it hit the city the hardest. One of our maids caught it, and she must have spread the illness throughout the house. How did you... I was with Uncle at the time, studying. Once we heard what had happened at my parents' house, we decided I would wait with him until everything was safe again. I was just 15 when they died. I didn't even get to say goodbye. It was just... they were gone. And I was alone in a big empty house full of memories. Her voice is hollow and sad, and as she turns her head away from you, you can see tears starting to form in her eyes. I took care of my parents the best I could at first, but when it became clear that they'd caught the pox, they left. Wandered into the forest with nothing but their sleeping clothes. That was the last time I saw them. My father, who couldn't have been more than 40 years old at the time, leading my mother into the woods that he had hunted in for so long, to die. They didn't want to risk me catching it, so they left me some letters to send and said their goodbyes to me. And that was it. I never even buried them. I guess they probably died of exposure or disease, and you have to stop yourself from talking anymore. You feel a lump rising in your throat as you replay those horrible moments in your head. You sit there in silence with her, holding her hand. Neither of you can say much anymore as you struggle with your emotions. I've got to say something. I don't want to leave here tonight with this on her mind. I don't want her to leave here tonight with this on her mind. I've made my peace with it and why they did it, but talking about it with you tonight, it's like reliving it all over again, like we're the same kids we were all those years ago. Exactly. I wish I could have been there for you and you for me when this all happened. It was almost a year ago after I don't really want to relive all that with you right now. It's just too raw for me right now. Seeing you all of a sudden after all this time, it's just reopening old wounds. Yeah. You both pause again. This conversation certainly hasn't gone where either of you wanted. Maybe we can talk about happier things right now? We can move past this for now, but she clearly isn't over what happened, and neither am I. Sure, okay, that's fine with me. So what do you do now? I'm sure you have a trade. I know we always talked about becoming adventurers when we were younger, so I hope it's something exciting. I'm a hunter like my father was. I think it's pretty close to being an adventurer. I go out into unexplored wilderness armed with nothing but my bow and my brains, and I not only have to survive, but bring back enough meat to sell at the market. I get to see sights that no one has seen, and I get to do it whenever I want. That's pretty much as close to being an adventurer as you can get, besides, you know, being an adventurer like your uncle. A hunter, huh? That's definitely pretty close to an adventurer, I'll give you that. She puffs her chest out proudly. But I'll have you know that I'm apprenticing with Uncle to become an actual adventuress. Are you really? Yep, in fact, we're her... She pauses and immediately stops talking. Sorry, I shouldn't have said anything. Can you just pretend I didn't say anything? Please? Are you going on some sort of adventure in the woods or something? Shut up, I told you to forget I said anything. Well, you asked and I haven't made up my mind yet, so you're off on an adventure? I'm not telling you anything. I can't. Uncle made me swear to tell no one and I'm not going to go back on my word. That's fine, but you could nod or something, right? She groans with exasperation, but she smiles despite the frustration. Grim, you know I can't, so just stop. She pauses and looks down at her hand. Hey, why are you still holding my hand? Oh, I didn't even notice. It just felt nice, I guess, and I didn't really notice. Oh, well, I don't really mind. Just don't get any ideas, all right? I guess I'm a ladies' man after all. Holding a woman's hand after only knowing her for my whole life. Never mind. So, what do you do for fun around here? Kind of silly, but I like to wander around in the forest. When I'm hunting, I'm so focused on tracking and looking out for dangers that I can't really enjoy being out in the forest. It's really nice to just spend an hour or two walking around and just taking it all in. That does sound really nice. That's what we used to do when we were kids, remember? Out on my family's estate in that little wooded area we had. Uncle takes me out there once or twice a month when the weather is nice. It's nice to just wander around in there. There's something almost magical about getting to just detached from everything. Nothing but you and the forest, you know? Exactly. It's peaceful. There's a pause as you both let your minds wander back to those peaceful moments in your lives, islands of stability and otherwise choppy waters. So how have you been the last few years? You can probably tell, but it's been difficult for me. I hope it's been a little better for you. What, like being an orphan that everyone wants to marry as a political prize is difficult? Grim. Sorry, just... It's kind of natural at this point. We used to make jokes all the time when we were kids, and now that I'm seeing you again, it's like I'm 12 all over again. Yeah, I haven't done anything as ridiculous as that village tour since we were kids. It was fun. You say that like it was definitely not fun. No, it really was fun. It's just, things are different now. We're adults with all sorts of responsibilities on our shoulders. I don't know. It feels like we're sort of caught in the middle right now. It's strangely comforting spending time with you again after so long, but it's just making me think a lot about stuff. You both pause and you feel her hand starting to slip out of yours. I can distract you a little by telling you about how things have been since, you know, the pox and all that. I don't know if it would help, but at least you won't feel alone. Misery loves company. She nods her assent and relaxes a little in her chair, looking somewhere between you and the fire as she focuses on your voice. Life was really hard in the years after we stopped seeing one another. I lost my best friend and then my family not even a year after that. The village was overwhelmed with the pox and with the recovery after, so no one was really able to help me out. I didn't have a master to teach me how to hunt, so I spent those years practicing what Father had taught me. I had some friends growing up, but an orphan living in a small cabin in the woods? Not the most popular guy. By the time I started to get settled and was pursuing my journeyman's license, everyone was already engaged or married. Paired off for life, and I was just alone. I know I'm not old yet, but what is there for me here? I have my own home, make a good living, but I just can't see a future here, or anywhere, really. I'm just really glad you're here, even if all we're doing is playing childish games. It's a very welcome distraction from this rut I've been in. And take a deep breath and look at her and smile. Sorry if that was a bit rambling. I just haven't had anyone to talk with in a while. I guess since you've shared, it's my turn now? You squeeze her hand a bit and she smiles at the gesture. She takes a few breaths before starting. After the fight or whatever happened between our fathers, I locked myself in my room for a week, crying. You were my best friend and now I could never see you again. The church preaches a lot about equality between men and women, but it's just not the case for nobles, especially women. I had to dress like a lady, act like a lady, speak like a lady. I couldn't do anything I wanted to do. No play fighting, no racing, no hijinks. Just which fork goes where, who has which titles, who's married whom. When I was with you, I could just be me. We could do all those things together, and it was by far the most fun I had every month. No putting on airs, no prim and proper curtsying, just being me. But after that fight, once you were gone, I felt like that little chance I had to be me was snuffed out. My parents got even stricter with me, and I just gave up. After they died, Uncle sent me to finishing school like Mother had wanted. I had to sit there and learn about all the noble families, how to be a good housewife, all day for 6 days a week for 2 whole years. The more I learned, the more I knew I didn't belong in that world. All the girls were gossiping about who was eligible, who was interested in whom, and I couldn't care less. Uncle let me apprentice under him once I was done with that school, but everyone thinks it's just a joke, at least everyone in that stupid nobility world. I had a few friends that I made in school, and that they kept telling me it was just a fleeting fancy, and that I'd eventually come around and marry Lord What's-It or Sir Who Cares. And once they got married, they got even worse, so I stopped talking with them. I've been receiving proposals for years, but I can't marry those fops. I mean, I'm not saying I never want to get married, but I don't want to give up who I am. I'm 24, though, so I'm running out of time as far as everyone is concerned. A few more years, and I'll be an old maid. I'm the only child from the Dalton family, too, so everyone only cares about inheriting my wealth and name. And I have a responsibility to my parents and my uncle to keep our line going. I just feel like I'm caught between two awful options. Marry no one and let my family die out, or marry some buffoon who only wants me for my lineage. They can't all be but... Trust me, they are. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, sure, some of them are smart, some of them are handsome, but none of them really care about me. They all want me to change to be someone I'm not. They just want a docile housewife with a pretty face and a good name who could pop out as many kids as they want. I'll be damned if that's my future. You know, right before I left to come here, the Cunningham son sent me another proposal. That man has a head bigger than his cabin and an ego to match it. Do you know what it said? He said that if I would give up my nonsense adventuring dreams, he'd even let me name our first daughter. That's the sort of person I have to deal with. It's infuriating, and all I can do is politely reply back, otherwise I'm the one being rude. They're all just so, ugh. And now here with you, we've had so much fun in the last few hours, more than I've had in years, honestly. It's like getting to go back in time 10 years and relive all the fun we had. God, I miss those days. Things were so much nicer, and simpler. She gets up suddenly, releasing your hand, and starts pacing. Sorry for getting worked up like this. I just feel like I have a lot on my mind that I need to let out. It's just been a stressful few days, and I don't really have anyone I can talk with about all this. You can talk with me if you want. She stops in front of the hearth and stares into the fire. When she starts to talk, her voice is lower and almost breaking. It feels like the whole world is designed so that I can't be happy. It's as if everything I want is something I can't have. This just isn't how I thought our lives would go 10 years ago. You stand up and join her, staring into the fire. Me neither. I thought we'd be happy. Two adventures out exploring the world together. discovering new ruins every week, finding mystical artifacts. I know that those were just childhood dreams, but I don't know. Life is so much worse than we thought it would be. Yeah, it is. Ever since that stupid fight our fathers had all those years ago. Do you know why it happened? Uncle never told me, and I never got to ask you. I have a hunch, but I'm not positive. I don't know if you'll want to hear the reason, to be honest. She scoots closer to you and leans her head against yours, continuing to stare into the fire, looking almost like she's in a trance. The light from outside begins to fade away as the sun falls behind the trees, turning the room a faint orange color. Tell me, please. You put your arm around her waist, holding her to you as you think back to those times. I thought we were done talking about sad things. I thought so too. Sometimes it feels like that's all there is to talk about. Sad memories and long dead dreams. Exactly. There's a long pause as you stand there in front of the fire holding one another. As if that wasn't hard enough to ignore how pretty she is, now I've got my arm around her. This feels nice. Excuse me. This is nice. Feels nice. Probably illegal for us to be doing this. Definitely. An unmarried woman holding an unmarried man? It's absolutely a sin. We'd be flogged for sure. You both pause, waiting for the other to react. You're not letting me go. Neither are you. It's nice. Can't we just ignore it? Excuse me. Can't we just enjoy this? Consequences be damned? Heaven knows I need something nice in my life right now. Yeah, I won't tell anyone. Promise. A few hours together and we're already back to being, what did my mother call us? Blasphemous little rascals. Yeah. You pull her even closer, holding her from behind. She turns to face you, blushing from the close contact. That wasn't an invitation to, not that I'm complaining, but just don't get carried away, okay? Of course not. Can I tell you something? Always. I missed you. So damn much. I missed you too. So, so much. You stand there holding her, thinking back to all of your memories together. Memories you had buried and suppressed for years come rushing back. You can't help but look into her eyes from this angle, and it takes every ounce of your willpower not to lean in and kiss her. You can see the struggle playing out on her face as well. You know that if you went for it, she would too. All it would take is one move, but the fear of the breaching that barrier, of turning this moment into something, is paralyzing. By the Prophet, I need to say something, anything at all. If I keep staring at her, I'm going to lose myself. You gulp nervously and press forward with the conversation. How long will you be here? I'm not sure, maybe a few days, but after I leave, I don't know how long I'll be gone. And you really can't tell me why? I really can't. Maybe I can ask Uncle to fill you in. Or maybe even... She trails off as she thinks to herself. The moment passes, but the tension in the air is more obvious than ever between you two. Well, while you're here, however long that is, can we spend more time together? Even if it's just for a few days before you're gone again for years, at least I'll have something to think back to and smile about. What a lie. Are you trying to guilt me into being your friend for the next few days? Yes. Well, it's working. Maybe you can take me for a walk in the forest tomorrow morning. I'd love to see what it's like. All I've heard are silly folk stories about dragons and dark magic. No dark magic, I can assure you. Dragons, however. Oh, shush. She giggles but quickly stops as she grows pensive again. She looks into your eyes and you can almost see the battle taking place behind them. Propriety on one side, and this night and these moments on the other. Grim, you know that it's absolutely against the law for us to be spending any time together alone. Forget about having dinner together or going on romantic walks in the woods, right? Standing like this, holding each other, we shouldn't be doing it, as nice as it is. I'll be leaving soon, too, so even if we could, which we shouldn't, I'll be leaving soon. The timing just doesn't work. Yeah, I know. But honestly, I couldn't care less. If we're only going to have a few days together before you're gone, we should make the most of them. Rules be damned. Besides, it's not like we're doing anything more intimate. It's just two good friends spending some time together. What's a hug between friends? There's nothing wrong with that, right? Right. But it can't be anything more. We need to keep this strictly platonic, okay? Of course, we're just two childhood friends spending some time together. Exactly. Oh, and there is the major question. Okay, so I'm not really sure if we're going to go back to this one. You guys might really like the story, though, so we might. But we do have some other story-related ones that we want to kind of go through that were a little further in. This is just kind of a preview. Price of Power is done, but there's going to be some epilogue stuff. So you can pick it up, and it is a little expensive. This one's actually kind of expensive, guys, compared to some of the other ones. But yeah, you can get it, I think, on Steam, and I know on itch.io. And you can also support the Patreon. All right, guys, so I'm out, and we will see you guys next time with more great AVN. I'm out.